Now, if you will, help me to welcome up our lead pastor, Charles, as he comes to preach this morning.
Thank you, Mike. As always,
just love the worship team. Thank you so much for leading us into great music. I am very happy to see you. I am amazed you made it. It was like the bike tour. Once a year, just shuts the city down. Not easy to get here, especially as this area is like where it starts for many of those bikers. So congratulations on making it. I am glad for you. We are starting a new sermon series today called Money and Work, because we touched on this topic during our Lenten season briefly. Money and work, and it just was received very well, and people kept asking, can we hear more about it? And, you know, my background training is in economics, so I'm like, why not? Why not try to, like, pass on some of what I learned, right? So that's what we're doing, this series, and today we start with a sermon on work. Work is a big topic. We all have... Oh, gee. Yeah, even Siri is working without pay, which many of us feel. So, okay, work. We all want work that pays well, right? This is like an ideal environment. Like, if you could have a Venn diagram, we want, like, work that pays well, work that we enjoy, like, with good environment, good colleagues, you know, work that you're good at so you don't get yelled at, and work that is meaningful, the work that feels fulfilling, that feels like, oh, you know, I'm helping people, it feels meaningful, you know. And if you can find all three, like, that's jackpot, right? I mean, that's what we want. But that's really hard to get, right? It's really, you know, many of us feel like we are more like we're stuck in, like, jobs that don't pay well, that jobs that we don't enjoy, right? A soul-sucking nightmare, right? This is more how we feel, right? That's more realistic. But we do it. Why? Because we gotta pay the rent. The bills come due. We gotta make it, right? We gotta, like, suck it up and just get through it. This is just a lot of stress related to work for many people. Stressed about making ends meet, stressed about retirement, right? Stressed about getting fired, stressed about job situation. It's not easy in this modern capitalistic world to find jobs and work opportunities that check off all the boxes, that we feel nourishing and fulfilling, and all that. Now, I cannot address all these concerns about work in one sermon or even in one series. I'm going to focus on one aspect of work today, and that's how the society values and ranks you depending on the kind of job, the kind of work you do, and the kind of pay you get. You know what I mean. In today's society, how much money you make, what kind of job you got, it just makes you either feel important or insignificant, worthy or not so worthy in this materialistic, capitalistic world, right? Because the whole world seems to rank people based on some arbitrary ideas of importance, impact, how much money it generates, also meaningful work, noble work, versus menial work. That's kind of looked down upon. For example, like doctors, like medical work is ranked higher than, say, store clerk, for example. I told this story some time ago, but one of the church person related this story to me, that she was at a Macy's in that store on Herald Square, Midtown, big store, and she was looking for some item, and there was this gentleman who was like standing in front of this kind of, you know, how they have like tables and merchandise, and he kind of looked like he was working there, so she kind of asked him, you know, where can I find this item? And then he just turned to her with this very offended look and said, I don't work here. I'm a doctor. Just this shocked expression. I'm a doctor. And so she was like, oh, I'm sorry. And she tried to turn and leave the scene. And he just yelled out, I'm a surgeon. Right? So, I mean, why did that happen? Right? I mean, obviously this person was just gravely offended that someone could mistake him, God forbid, with this lowly store clerk type of job, that like he is like so beyond that, right? How dare you even think I could be such a lowly person as a store clerk? That's kind of what was going on, probably. He felt diminished. This reveals how our society works. It's the mindset of the world. It ranks you. Even church world has this ranking hierarchical mentality. I remember in the evangelical world where I grew up, like I spent most of my Christian life in the evangelical world. I'm no longer an evangelical in the last few years, and just felt that it was just such a whole sermon on why. But you know, I remember we had this idea of noble work or God's work or this idea of vocation. We put ministers on a pedestal, on a higher level. I went to Stanford and had campus ministers. I was part of the Christian group. And the campus minister there, my mentor, used to get really upset about all these graduate students who would, instead of going on missions work or relief work, they would go to Silicon Valley and make a lot of money and go to good vacations, right? And he would just get really upset that they would do this, despite, you know, all that he taught them about noble work, about vocation, about doing God's work. He and his wife adopted 4 kids from Ethiopia, and they don't make a lot of money as a campus minister. They really worked hard, and in comparison, he felt that they were compromising with the world and just pursuing worldly pursuits. It's not that they left faith or left church. They were very faithful churchgoers and all that. But still, there was this idea that ministry, doing God's work, that's higher. In that group, those were the people who were like rock stars. You know, they were the people who we looked up to. And then people working in Silicon Valley, they sold out. They are compromised. They are living by worldly values. They were looked down upon. You see, like, in different cultures, in different groups, who's ranked higher, it's all different, right? It's all different because my family, my parents, they were just aghast that I would choose ministry. Like, they came from a culture where education was the rank. It's not even like how much money you made. It was education and knowledge. My father was a professor. My grandfather was a professor. My great-grandfather was a professor. It's just a scholar. Like, just knowledge for the sake of the knowledge was absolute good. It was this Confucian idea that scholar was at the top of the society. And that's how the society actually organized itself in Korea for several centuries, where scholars ruled everyone. They were at the highest level, right? So education, knowledge. So when I said, you know, I want to, like, do ministry, they were, like, stunned. They were completely outraged. They were like, we, like, sent you to great schools. You have 2 degrees from Stanford, PhD from MIT. You want to be a pastor? Like, that's a job that uneducated people do. That was their, like, literally. I was like, that's not necessarily true. There's a lot of scholarly work going on there. But they felt like this was just beneath me, beneath us, beneath the Park family. They felt I was shaming the family. You know, my brother was a doctor, my sister was a professor. So in comparison, I shamed the family. I kind of got disowned for a while because of this. So I don't know if you can, any of you relate to, like, feeling of letting down your parents, like not living up to their expectations or their, you know, our parents have, like, hopes for us, desires for us, and, you know, they have certain standards, right? And sometimes we feel like we come up short. Any of you relate to that? Some of us probably, some of us not. But it's not easy to feel like you disappointed your parents, your family. I let the family down. I shame them. I fall short. And some of us can feel like that with the jobs we have, with the work we do. We can feel like, oh, it's not all that I had hoped that I could be doing or that my family wanted. Or we live under that fear, that the stress of falling behind, stress of disappointing the standards of our family, right? That those kinds of things can hang over us and make us stressed out. A lot of stress and anxiety that goes with job status. But here's the thing, though. The examples I just cited you, different groups have a completely different standards, right? One group of people thought being a pastor was at the highest level. Another culture, another group thought that's kind of low, right? So can we agree that this is sort of arbitrary? It just depends on the set of values that we subscribe to. Like, if you went to different group or different culture, they will have different ideas about what is higher or nobler or meaningful. That it's just all arbitrary in many sense. So if you remember, I would like you to remember this, that this measuring worth, like doctors are better than store clerk or something, this is all dependent on cultural values at the time of that group. There is no objectivity. It all depends on which particular set of value that the group you belong to are subscribing to. So that's one reason why it's so elusive, this sense of fulfillment that you can get from a job that we all want. There is no solid objective ground from which we can really draw for sure this is fulfilling, this is meaningful. Especially in the modern capitalist world, where many of the jobs seem disconnected from how it's helping people, you know? It's many of us work in jobs that just push numbers around, or it just feels kind of repetitive, boring, faceless. And so we can feel like, oh, what am I really like? I mean, how is this helping anyone? That can feel like the Marx called this alienation of workers. Marx was one of the seminal economists in history. Most of us have been taught to stay away from him because of communism, and communism is bad, but he was a very, very smart man and made a lot of good points. And one of the points he made is that in his critique of capitalism, he talked about how like people have become cogs in a machine. In the before Industrial Revolution, our work, it had meaning because there was an immediate sense of how it helped people. Like, you need a bowl, you had to make it. And the bowl that you made is what you ate from every day. So every time you ate, you could like feel like, oh, I made this. So your work had this immediate sense of helping you. And the community, whatever you did, helped the community. So there was this immediate sense of immediacy, connection to the work that felt noble, that felt like it had impact, that felt like it helped people right near me, my family. And so it made you feel good, connected to work, brought dignity to work. But now, you know, what Industrial Revolution did is like people are just like, you know, turning screws, you know, putting things on things and like just doing the same thing over and over thousands of times. Just cogs in a machine. What? Where is the meaning and purpose when you push papers in a vast office? When you turn screws in a factory thousands of times a day, it can feel like you're just like more like a machine than a human being. And so that's why it's natural to feel like there is more dignity to work that seems to help people with a sense of immediacy, like doctors. They are like seeing a person, someone's sick, they're dying, and they're helping. And it just feels like immediately, oh, wow, you know, we can see the impact right away. That seems more noble, more significant. But let me be clear today, there is no higher or lower, more noble or menial work in the kingdom of God. In the eyes of God, there is no nobler, you know, minister versus just person who is like inventing chips, you know, in Silicon Valley. You know, there is no, God doesn't discriminate in that way. Like I taught many times, like for example, the parable of the vineyard workers. Every worker gets the same amount from God. Same amount of respect, same amount of reward, same amount of dignity. And that is the life of Jesus Christ, God incarnate. Everyone is worth the same. The work, it's first is last is first. It's all equal in the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches us all work is sacred and meaningless at the same time. Let me repeat that. All work is sacred and meaningless at the same time. If you're doing legitimate work, I mean like if you are like assassin for drug cartels, you know, if you're like pushing drugs on people, you know, that's not work. That's just being a criminal, okay? I'm talking about legitimate work, right? You are a pharmacist, right? You are a store clerk. You are a lawyer. You are working at Shake Shack. Whatever you're doing, you are helping people. Even if at that time you're doing it, you may not feel that way, you are helping people. Even jobs that people look down upon. For example, I have heard over the years people kind of like, this lawyers, you know, that's like a pastime, right? Because you know, they they feel like they can kind of get dissed, you know, because they do make a good money or whatever. So they're not like, you know what I mean? Like that stereotypical sleazy lawyers, you know, like there are shows, Wall Street, or like shows like Better Call Saul, right? It just feels like, oh, lawyers, like what are they good for? They're just leeches on society. They don't make anything. They just push papers around and make everything more miserable. That's what people say sometimes. But did you know that lawyers are essential to modern society and how we function? They are absolutely essential. I was taught in grad school that industrial revolution doesn't happen without lawyers. The enclosure of commons, I don't want to get into it, but this idea of rights, the law, you know, lawyer economics professor is smiling. But anyway, yeah, you're doing good work. Yeah. You know, without private property rights, we don't get industrial revolution. And we don't get industrial revolution, there's no AC. This is nice, isn't it? We're enjoying this nice AC, right? In a couple of months, you will be very grateful for AC, right? You know, before people lived 25 to 30 years on average, so life expectancy. Now we live to 80. We live longer, we live better. This is nice, right? None of that happens without lawyers. Trust me, I don't want to give a whole lecture on that, but it's true. So there is no first and last at work. Even if we may not see it. Even if we feel like we're cogs in a machine, we are doing essential work for society functioning in a good way. Like you work at Shake Shack, you are bringing joy to many, many people, including me. I love it. You know those Shake Shack fries? It's like a taste of heaven, right? Makes life worth living. You know, St. Augustine said, good food is God's love made edible. This is St. Augustine, okay? This is God's love. It's just, people are ingesting God's love. And you are frying them, and you're taking order, and you're giving people God's love. When you're standing behind the cash register, you're handing out God's love. Isn't that noble? Right? When you think of it that way, that's meaningful. It may not feel that way. It can feel very repetitive and meaningless, but in reality, you are. When God sees you, you are doing wonderful work. It's meaningful. It's fulfilling. You know, we tend to think it's the big celebrities, like Taylor Swift concert. Like, I hear, like, people were paying, like, $10,000 for tickets to this. I mean, it's like, my God, why? But, you know, Taylor Swift, we would think, oh, she's important because she's bringing joy to millions of people. That's big. Well, so is Shake Shack, bringing joy to millions of people, right? And so there is no difference between Taylor Swift and someone who works at Shake Shack in the eyes of God in terms of what importance there is, in terms of what meaning there is. It's just how we feel and how we treat each other and how we human beings make rankings and put people in different ranks and treat people differently. It's us, and it's arbitrary. Let's not go crazy over something so arbitrary as if it's like eternal truth. It is what is out there. We cannot just dismiss it. That's the world we live in. But let us also recognize that it's not God's truth. It's just what people made up. Every work is sacred. At the same time, every work is meaningless. In that, if you look to your work for your worth and meaning and legacy, you will be chasing after the wind, as the Bible would say. Here's a great Bible passage about work. From the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself, planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. And yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done, what I toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Why? For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they made to another who has not toiled for it. This is utterly meaningless. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This, I see, is from the hand of God. So the message here is this, that, hey, you can do an amazing amount of work. Look at what this guy said. He built an incredible amount of stuff, right? Things that can last a long time. He's hoping legacy, meaning. He's trying to get meaning from all these great projects he's doing. And he's saying, in the end, I realize this is all meaningless because I will soon die. And people who never worked for it will enjoy it. And in fact, in a short amount of time, it's just going to disappear. It just becomes ruins, right? I mean, I watch documentaries, and they talk about digging archaeological sites. And, you know, there's like five layers of like civilization every time they dig. They've just been all buried, and then something else got built on top of it. They get buried, and something else gets... Nothing lasts very long. Our lives are very short. It's gone in a blink of a time. And everything we made is also gone in a blink of a time. So if you are like trying to say, I'm going to like make something that's meaningful in the sense that it's going to last, I got a legacy to leave behind, I'm sorry, I got bad news for you. Nobody will remember. Nothing will last. Right? Even like Alexander the Great will be forgotten one day. You know, maybe in a million years, right? The sun will swallow up the earth, and then like who's going to remember, right? It's all nothing. It's all meaningless is what this man is saying. So the advice is just enjoy the fruits of your labor today. Enjoy it. Stop stressing so much. Even at night, our minds do not rest. We put so much meaning into the work we do. And it's too much. It's because we measure each other and we measure ourselves with work we do. And saying it's putting too much weight on what your work is supposed to handle. Just do your work, enjoy what it does, and enjoy your life. Because you are more important than your job. You are more than your work. You are what matters, right? Amen? So just don't let worries rob you of the joy of life today. And just find satisfaction and meaning in that you are doing meaningful work, but don't put too much stress upon it. So here are my practical suggestions. First, do honest work with pride. Doing your work, you know, even if it feels meaningless and repetitive, take pride in what you're doing. It is helping people. I remember a few years ago reading all these articles of outrage about these subway workers who were punching in to work, but then leaving right after to do another job while collecting a full paycheck. Anybody remember that time? Yeah, some nods, yeah. There was like all these articles about it. And I just thought, well, what is going through their mind when they're doing that? They probably thought it really doesn't matter whether I'm here or not, right? There are these vending machines for subway tickets. You know, if there's some emergency, people have cell phones, they can call 911. I don't need to be here. And it's government money. I mean, that's like monopoly money, right? And so, you know, I just collect and I'll go and do it. That's probably what was going. I think, no, that's not right. You know, taxes come from everyone. You can't just leave your post and collect paychecks. You being there is important. As insurance, I mean, if someone does have a heart attack or something, someone needs to be there, right? Insurance is valuable, even if nothing happens most of the time. So even work that feels repetitive or meaningless or useless, it had its function. And so, you know, try not to have that mindset. Like, it doesn't matter if I just don't do what I do. Do the best in your work. Take pride. Do honest work. At the same time, don't be a victim or a hero. You are more important than your job. So don't overdo it. Don't go crazy. In Japan, every year, they say over 10,000 people die from overworking. They have a word for it. This is called karoshi. That's not good. They have, their sense of responsibility is overdeveloped. I mean, I've noticed this every time I go to Japan. I think Japanese have a lot of sense of responsibility. You know, you can't find trash cans in the streets in Japan. You know why? Because everybody takes their trash home. If they have a trash, they put it in like little plastic bag and they take it home so that they won't burden anybody else. Or burdens. I mean, can you imagine a whole nation of people who refuses to put any trash anywhere because it's theirs? They have to take responsibility over their own trash. I could get used to that. That's a nice society where people have nice sense of responsibility towards their fellow citizens, but that can go overboard. You can quit your job if you need to. In fact, people who switch their jobs have double the rate of wage growth to those who stay in their jobs on average. So it's okay to quit your job. You can find another job, and it'll probably work out to your advantage. I mean, there is something to job stability. But you don't have to, like, stay at a job that you hate, that doesn't pay well. You know, you don't have to do that. You can. I mean, economy is pretty good right now. So don't be a hero or a victim. Okay? Just take it easy. Jobs are not that important, but it is important. It is sacred and meaningless all at the same time. So have this mentality from faith, how God sees you, how God values you, how God, walk with God, ask God for advice, and do your work with satisfaction in your heart, with blessings. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. God, I thank you that our worth is established in you. It's not in our work. It's not in our job. Our worth is not in doing what the society considers meaningful, noble, that pays well. Our worth is in you. Help us, oh God, to anchor ourselves in faith in you, how you see us, so that we can have wisdom, so that we can have anchor, so that we don't get swayed one way or another where we get overly proud or overly shamed, but we are able to have perspective through it all. Give us faith and wisdom to be able to navigate this life and all the work we have to do in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.